call to order. Roll call, please. Let's do this again.
Commissioner Evans?
Present.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Here.
Commissioner Shepherd?
Present.
Vice Chair Niemer?
Present.
Chair Weber?
Here. Pledge of Allegiance. Please get up.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. General public comments. The general comment period is provided for each subject not included on the agenda but within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. Each person is limited to a maximum of 3 minutes of speaking time. The board may not take action on non-agenda matter. However, the board or its staff may briefly respond to statements or questions. Government Code 54954.2A2. Is there any public comment? Yes, please.
Nancy, I'm here about our veterans tonight. And I talked to the owner of the porta potties there on Sunday. And he had one of the teacher friends of his take me over there to where they dedicated it and stuff like that, took pictures of me. And he says, Chuck, I'll have that flag up for you. And I said, not for me, it's all for the veterans. I didn't want them, you know. And they put it up for 2 days, and now I don't see it anymore. So, you know, and it started out when this guy was really rude to me over there. It was $800. Then he said it was $5,000 for the flag. And whoever I'm talking to, the other veterans and people that have businesses here, maybe they could put the money in and we could buy a flag. I mean, come on. I know you folks. I really appreciate them coming in to speak. But he said, well, I'm from San Francisco and I run this place. And I told him, well, since you're talking about that, every single check you ever got here, my family handed it to you. So, you know, if we're talking who or what, you know, but went up for 2 days. And I don't want to say anything derogatory here because I really love this county and really appreciate being born here. But it's sure pretty silly that we can't have that happen, you know. And I was going to ask Mr. Gatlin to help me because when he was a supervisor, I said, please, Mr. Gatlin, would you help me to make him stop smoking cigarettes over there at the Veterans Hall? And him and I, he put me on Facebook. I don't know how to run my phone, but just let you show me. He said some really, really kind comments about me. And we stopped it, him and I. So, like I said, I'd like somebody, I'm going to talk to some people and get the phone number here and see if I can get at least 1 million calls here from veterans. You know, and I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do anything derogatory because I really love coming down here all my life. And I know you folks, I've talked to other people about you folks, and I've never heard anybody say that they don't like you or this lady or anybody, you know. Everybody seems to be really happy you guys are really trying to do something here. And every time before I came in here, I talked to Bobby Lesnar. He's 91 years old here. And nice him to speak to me. You know, he's got the skipjack to ask about different things I was going to talk about, like the Black Crop Vision and all this other stuff. You know, and so please, I don't think this guy should keep our flag hostage or whatever it is. So would you please help me have that flag up?
So can I address it? Because we had I don't know if you know Henry Geiger. But he's a veteran, and we had an extensive discussion about the flag issue, and he had some good recommendations that what we need to do is have a fair weather flag and a foul weather flag. So that the foul weather is a smaller one,
yeah.
Because the one that we've had up, it got shredded, you know, several times, and it is quite expensive. And if it's super windy, then it's just going to get destroyed. I mean, even after a couple of days. So anyway, Henry, we had a meeting with him and our maintenance staff as to how we could keep the flag flying, you know, almost all the time. But
great idea.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because that's what they're commenting on. I got so many calls or texts and calls
What was it, a week, when the last time the wind really blew and the flag was up, and what are you guys doing? You're so stupid, you won't take the flag down. I go, well, we're having a lot of issues with the flag, so I'm glad we're coming to a solution, and I think that's a great idea, a small flag for when it's windy,
yes.
And that big flag, I mean, I got called everything you can imagine.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that,
because the flag was flying, and I said, hey, I throw my hands up. I'm glad it's up, because that's all we hear about is how it's not up.
It does look beautiful coming.
Oh, it is, I guess you could shred it in 2 days.
Well, and so, and Henry, when we had our meeting,
we're 50 here.
Yeah, we talked about taking it down, but he was telling me how, you know, when he was in the service, they had an incident where it was similar weather, and they took the flag down and actually, like, lifted somebody 10 feet off the ground and almost, like, I guess really injured them. So it got to be so dangerous we couldn't even take it down when the wind got super high. So it's going to take some, you know, planning and coordination to just get into a routine with the maintenance guys to check the weather, you know, switch the flag as needed. But it is getting attention. So
can
I want you to be sure of that.
Can you give me a date when maybe it go up? So when the people I talk to, I can give them some kind of, say, whatever?
Well, I'll tell you what. You can be part of our little, you know, planning committee. And I know Rich was getting some quotes together to see how much it would cost to get some, you know, options. But if you want to, after the meeting, give me your contact number, I can loop you in. You can be part of our discussions, because I know this is a really important issue for you, and I appreciate that.
Please, because when Mr. Gettman, when they were doing that, about that, then they'd have meetings at the prison president at 7 in the morning, and he'd let me sit in with them and you know, at least let me be a part of what was happening. So I would really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's the least we can do for your service to the country, so thank you.
Yeah, when I come back from Vietnam, they sent me to Fort Irwin for 9 months, and I presented flags at funerals.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you know, first grade, we always salute the flag. So we're all Americans here. So, yeah, well, thanks for letting me try.
I do think that's been the issue, is we've had one flag, it's very large, and we have a lot of wind here.
Well, you know.
And so, I'm glad that we came up with that kind of a solution.
God,
so let's get on that one and we'll do it.
Please, thank you very much. Appreciate you guys' time.
Thank you, sir.
Point of information.
Yes.
You can get flags in various sizes. No, they're all the same size. They're different qualities of fabric, from ballistic nylon to cotton, and a couple in between. That have flown for about 30 seconds over the Capitol. I got one for a Girl Scout troop I was the leader of years ago. Still have it. You probably can go online and find it, and they're reasonably priced. And then you have a flag that flew over the nation's capital, so it's kind of cool besides.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much. If you have any further information, would you mind providing it to the Harbor Master? And then we can arrange something with this group that is making all the plans for
it. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much for your contribution. Yes?
Hi, it's Alicia Williams. I just want to give a general comment about when you as the commissioners, when you're hearing people being, not really giving constructive criticism, and, you know, bringing up things that are calling into question the reason why we're all here, like on the previous agenda, the open session that just closed, and is making, you know, confusing the situation of why we're here, that this is a proposal, that we're here to you know, pick from this menu that this consultant is. It would be nice if you guys would clarify that, instead of me having to take my very limited ability to give public comment, to ask that you clarify that, especially when we have a news, quote unquote, news person that is constantly confusing situations, and he gives bad facts.
Please don't talk bad.
Incorrect information.
No.
So what I'm asking for,
excuse me,
I'm going to clarify.
We need to interrupt.
The public comment period is not a chance.
Just a second.
What I'm asking
for, personal attacks on individuals in the community.
Point of order, I'm sorry, you're not aware. Point of order means I have to stop the meeting. I have to listen to him. He has to make a statement. You have to stop.
Mr.
And
Chair,
then you can continue. You will get the time.
I'd like to reiterate that the public comment period is not a time for personal attacks on members of the community.
Yes.
Thank you.
Maybe it should be written up in our first statement of general public.
I think
public
we
comment.
Need to address this to help out.
Okay.
Because it is a concern. But we need to make sure that we adhere to those rules.
Okay. So now I get to speak.
You're ready
again,
to continue,
Mr. Danvers.
Yes, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, wonderful. It's not an attack. Gitlin is constantly throwing bad facts, incorrect facts.
Please.
Hold on, just a moment. Excuse me, I'm still speaking. There are tons of correspondence and tons of actual evidence to this. Let me finish, please.
This is
my,
not a Gitlin court.
My request is that the commissioners please stop that instead of making me do it, and then I won't be doing what you're accusing me of doing, which is doing a character attack, which again I'm not doing.
Point of order, Mr.
Yes.
Chairman. This line of general public comment is not pertinent to the meeting. Can we please just move on?
I'm asking the commissioners to clarify facts when there are confusions that
okay.
are to the public. That's
perfect.
What I'm asking.
Thank you very much. That's
thank
great.
You. Thank you.
We'll take that into consideration. Now.
Thank you.
Right.
And I'm going to be putting forth the evidence to you guys and asking that you put it on the agenda or that you hold a special meeting because there's tons of evidence to what I'm saying. And it's not a character attack. Actually, Gitlin's attacked the harbor.
Point of order.
He's the one who
Mr. Chairman.
Tormented Tim Petrick.
I got to warn you.
It's
the
called
next,
facts.
Next time you're making a comment about somebody, I have to ask you to leave.
Well, I'm done. It's called facts.
Yes.
There was a prior.
Another sunny comment. Thank you. Sorry.
Sam's on the...
How are you, folks?
Oh.
Oh. Sorry.
Go ahead. Are were you...
Mr. Chairman.
Make comment?
I think Sandy was next.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you mind waiting? I
overlooked
the fact that
somebody
had to
ask. It's not really that...
I appreciate your...
Thank you.
Your patience.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Okay, Sandy.
Thank you. You know, I know that you guys had a closed session last week, and I wasn't, I didn't hear what was reported out. I'm not sure if there was anything reported out. I'm just wondering if you could do so now.
It's on the agenda for later, Sandy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. All right, we have reached you. Thank you.
It's good to get off the chair sometimes, you know, and makes your head kind of feel round. But at night, I listen to a clang from the harbor. I live right across the street. And it constantly, when it went. You know that piece of metal that comes down to hold the flag? It's going cling, cling, cling. And it's echoing across the parking lot and all the way over into the park. And it's kind of hard, you know, when it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you think that you're on the ship. But on the other hand, I have a solution. Let's put a donut on it. You know, like one of those little shop donuts you put on, like at the end of the crab pot, you put here, you put where the chain is. And when it hits, all you hear is, shh, shh, shh. You wouldn't hear this. And plus this, on top of it, it'll save your metal from being banged up from replacing the top of the flag when it's crashing into it. So maybe we can take care of that if you help. Thanks.
Appreciate your comment.
That minutes are buoy.
Is there anybody else that would like to make a public comment that's not on the agenda? All right, then we're moving on to point number two, the communications and reports. We're going to start out with the Harbor Commissioner and committee reports. Who wants to go first?
I want to say that Annie and I are both on this building maintenance ad hoc committee, and we agreed this morning to meet on Friday to begin our inventory of the buildings under our control to determine what extent, if any, maintenance or improvements are required. So that's something we've done. I met with the, I'm a member now of the Visitor and Convention Bureau. I noticed that Stephanie's back there eager to talk later in the meeting, but wonderful meeting. There's a strong interest by that group in this harbor, and so I'll be meeting later with some of the people from Eureka to integrate some of our needs and ideas into what they're doing for this area. So I look forward to that. And then more recently, I think uh, Well, I'll pass at that point. I'm done.
Okay. Let's go down there.
Last week, getting over a cold, so nothing to report this week. But I'm looking forward to the economic summit, meeting with Chris Williams and seeing the presentation there. I think we're moving in the right direction. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I went to the chamber board meeting, and mostly it was talk about the economic summit and putting some things together for it. And I've had a little discussion with Christina on some insurance in the harbor that we're working on. So I came up with the fact that on oil pollution that we would never be liable because it's the boat or individual that spills the oil. So it's like if my boat spilled oil, and your boat wouldn't be responsible for it. So I got that far on that one, and then you put the thing in today, and it might be part of your presentation about the grant, maybe, so of a derelict boat. So yeah, that's about it.
How would you know which boat spilled?
Sometimes it's difficult, but I mean it's traceable, and usually if it's a large spill that takes actually costs a lot of money, then it's pretty evident. You know, it's from a boat sinking or something. We're just trying to get the harbor, secure the harbor's liability. That's what we're working on.
Thank you.
So, Dan already said we'll be meeting Friday. Rick and I met also, I guess it was over the phone and through a series of emails addressing the insurance, and he's correct, we're covered for pollution. It's often pollution comes up when a vessel sinks, and it's the actual recovery of a vessel when it sinks. The pollution point of that would be, but the vessel still has to be recovered, and we're trying to hash out if our current insurance does cover that, which we're uncertain, and if not, how to address that in the future. And to go along with that, I spoke to Donald Wilkes from the harbor in Eureka, and he said there is a grant program, the acronym is called SAVE, and it's specifically for recreational vehicles and not vessels and not commercial. But we have, there's abandoned and revoked vessels on this list, so I'm not sure if our ownership or ability to address the revoked ones, but there are four simply abandoned ones. There's a grant, that grant closes April 30th, so I reached out to Mr. Rademacher and Mr. Barr. Mike Barr from CSS says he does not believe he'll have time to apply for that grant, so I'm hoping Mr. Rademacher will, otherwise I will take on that task so we can prevent vessels from sinking in this harbor so we don't have this insurance issue.
It's been a problem in the past, and a few of those are sport boats. So when I read that, when I read the email from you about the grants for sport boats, it would help here. And most of the commercial boats are taken care of, and if they did sink, the owners would always, get them back in working order, but there's a few of them that we have concern about that we're gonna work on trying to get covered. So.
And is that at the end of the month?
Yeah,
okay.
April 30th, yeah. 5 p.m.
I think we should try, yeah.
Okay. I was present at a meeting with Stephen Denny, the person that is for now taking care of our accounting needs. And during the meeting, I expressed my concern that whenever somebody takes over from an entity, especially in accounting, you also always want to verify the current situation of the harbor. So I've kind of asked for a mini audit. Just like anybody who has ever worked at the cash register, if you take over the cash register, you want to have a clean exchange. And so if we get somebody else in here, and money is important for this harbor, we need to figure out, okay, the person is leaving, everything is clean, in the clean bin of health, and then the next person takes over. So that was super important. And yes, he's ready to move on, and I think he's right now communicating with our previous finance director, and by next meeting we will have our standard but also improved financials ready. And I think the first version of the budget, right?
Mm-hmm.
For next year.
This is all I was involved in.
To get everybody involved, Steve and he is an accountant that we hired years ago to straighten our accounting out. He's a professional at that, and since skip my mind, our last accountant left, then we
David.
We've hired Steve to be an interim accountant for us until we can get another one. So.
All right. Mike, I think it's your turn.
To make sure that gets on the meeting. Minutes for the meeting.
Okay.
I don't think we've made an official announcement that we had that was going on. We made an announcement that David had left, but not that Steve has taken his place for an interim thing.
Yeah.
Can
I ask, I don't want to interrupt if it's not the right
time. Okay, so I'm really excited because I've been having some meetings with the Army Corps, and as was previously reported with the dredging, they were not able to complete the contract as it was. They only got about 55% done. And so I was asking them, I said, what can we do with the money that's been allocated, you know, for that dredging? If we didn't spend it, can we use it for something else? And what we came up with, I'm really excited about this, is we can reallocate that money towards reinforcing the breakwater along Anchor Way and deal with some of those issues. We were trying to get FEMA funding, and FEMA denied us because that's when the stuff was going on with Hawaii and they had a funding shortfall. And so the Army Corps has agreed to, they're taking it to their management, but we're all feeling very optimistic that we can just channel this money towards a related project without having to, you know, go through any sort of a congressional, you know, directed spending or like we were talking about before. So that's going to be really positive if we can pull that off. I had a meeting with the harbor master from Humboldt Bay, Chris Mickelson, and we were talking about how can we coordinate things better to save money with all these mobilization and demobilization costs. And when we have dredging that comes up, obviously they've got a lot of construction going on with their port terminal improvements. And we're anticipating having some construction with the seawall and Citizens Dock. So we want to really, a lot of these companies come up from the Bay Area, so we want to have efficiencies between the two agencies and try and coordinate that. And also, he's going to be up here, he thinks in June, to do an on-site visit. So if you guys want to meet with him and get some background on how they're doing things, I think that'd be really helpful. I've been working with Noyo Harbor. They contracted with an independent consultant to look at how small harbors can operate more efficiently. And so I participated in some of the feedback from our perspective, and they're going to give us that report free of charge. So I think it'll be really helpful. I also talked to CMC Design, who's looking at putting in some cold storage for us here. That could replace all of these individual containerized solutions that we have, be more energy efficient, have more capacity. And I got put in touch with him through Steve Opp. So that's, I think, very promising, and that could be a near-term quick win for revenue generation. And then I met with Pacific Power at the Fashion Blacksmith property. Right now they have a 150 kVA transformer, and we're looking to upgrade that to a 300, which would allow us to deal with these light industrial potential uses of the building for the boatyard as well as additional retail. And so that's really going to be positive because it was kind of in limbo as to whether or not it was going to be our responsibility or theirs, which would be several hundred thousand dollars. And we ultimately were able to sort of negotiate that it was their responsibility because the transformer is looking like it may be starting to leak. And so then it becomes a liability for them. And then I had a discussion with Commissioner Schmidt about, you know, we're both from Southern California, and I remember in the 2000s, Huntington Beach trademarked, you know, Surf City USA. And so I was thinking about, you know, what could we do? It would sort of be analogous to that as sort of this rebranding, you know, with the architect and everything. And we could trademark Crab City USA for, I mean, so, I mean, just something to think about. I don't know how much it would cost, but. And then finally, the update on the bathrooms for RHV and South Beach. Mike Barr is been helping me reach out to some contractors. We've reached out to 5 different contractors. So we anticipate having that installed within the next, you know, few months, hopefully before the peak season starts. So that's all I got.
The people at the dredging said you kept them here an extra 2 weeks.
It's not a point of order.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I'm sorry. You need to ask from would you mind?
Yeah.
Is there any comment? There was another grants update. Who's doing the grants update?
That's on the, it's coming up on the agenda. Yeah, Mike Barr's got some.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Just
you know, when I said I got to talk to the dredging people, it was really, life to me is really busy. He said when it was over, that you folks kept him here an extra 2 weeks.
They'll be back in four years.
Yeah, just to be clear, so that was at the direction of the Army Corps. The Army Corps was controlling that contract. But, I mean, in all honesty, they really should have been up here in October, early October, like they planned. They had some issues mobilizing their equipment.
Yes.
And they missed a really good weather opportunity. You know, they get a month of great weather in October. So, I mean,
that's what
they
said,
broke down for 2 weeks, and they probably only took close to 50% of the material they're supposed to take. So it wasn't a really good thing for the harbor. We had nothing to do with it.
Yes, but
we didn't kick them out.
Like I said, when I worked on that great big ship,
sure.
He said the reason they do it the way they do it now is because they can do it with small vehicles and haul it back and forth, and that they don't do that anymore. Like I said, it took over 20 years to get it in here.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying that was
but that's what he told me.
But don't say that we kicked him out, because
I didn't say
that's not very nice.
No,
we have nothing to do with
that. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
No.
Thank you. Yeah. Is there somebody else?
Alicia.
Online, Sandy.
Sandy.
The need is left, and the gentleman's name that's been hired?
Stephen Denny.
Stephen Denny. Mm-hmm. And clarification on, I understood you to say at your next meeting you expect to have the new financials and the first budget. Is that your plan?
I mean, the budget might go through the finance committee first before it's presented to the public, but we'll definitely have the recent financial statements that have been lagging since David left. So we're trying to catch up. Yeah.
At the next meeting. Very good, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody else? Yes.
Yeah, so I was confused when you guys said that you hired this accountant. I thought that was something that had to be put on the agenda for the public to know about. I don't kind of understand how all of a sudden you guys can just do that without, I mean, I'm just confused about the policy procedure here. Isn't that totally out of what you guys normally do? Really bizarre, so I kind of want clarification on that. And then you gave such great information, Mike, but it was a lot of information. So I'm just wondering if we can request that when you guys are doing your reports, if there's a way you could do like bullet points or something on the agenda or do something. Because I mean, some of what you gave was really great information and you're just kind of like running through it. And this is like great stuff that the public wants to know about progress. Like, I want to know about this money that's going, and I think you're talking about reinforcing Anchorway, like the actual road that's washing away.
It'd just be the breakwater, like the riprap. So not the road itself, but
and
just,
I don't understand what that means.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand what riprap means.
I can send you something in writing, and we can talk after the meeting.
Well, yeah. I really want it for the entire public. I appreciate that, you know, you want to send it to me, but like, I'm talking about this on behalf of the entire public.
Sure.
So just keep that in mind that when I'm speaking, that it's not just Alicia speaking, that there's a lot of community members that I speak to that I voice concerns with. Some of the things that I don't know if you guys have caught on that I advocate for have absolutely nothing to do with me. I'm not a fisherman. I don't, you know, have a dog in a lot of these fights. So I would appreciate you guys if you would understand that and stop trying to vilify me when I give comments that you guys don't necessarily agree with or like. I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Do you want to mention about the hire? Do you want to respond to it?
Yeah, so, I mean, keep in mind, so he's an independent consultant. It's not like a permanent position, you know, and it was sort of, you know, David's resignation was somewhat unexpected, and so we had to move quickly and, you know, try and find someone. We've also reached
out. Familiar with the harbor, that worked with him.
Yeah, and you know, we have Sandy scheduled to start the week after the end of the tax season. And so Stephen is trying to help us along in the interim, just to provide some oversight to our office staff and make sure that none of these important, you know, deadlines and things don't fall through the cracks. So it's a limited scope engagement. It's, you know, probably 5 to 7 hours, you know, a pay period, something like that. We'll see how it goes, but it's just, you know, I don't want to call it an emergency, but it's a stopgap measure.
And I think I might have used the wrong verbiage by saying we hired him. We've kind of hired him, but just to help us until Sandy could come on board. And it was so sudden that we didn't get a public notification out. Sorry about that.
I think we did announce it after. It was a special meeting. It was announced, I think. No?
Sorry.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if there's a requirement even whenever the harbor hires somebody to make a public announcement. And for example, if we hire somebody for maintenance, that is also not announced to the public. So it was many things that we were gonna hide from the public. But for us mentioning it just means that we have an issue that needed to be solved, because you can't work this large harbor without an accountant, without competent representation in that particular area. And I think we moved on somebody rather quick to get the stuff done.
Also, on the format of the meeting, the CEO report is merely informational in context. I don't think it's necessary to do a bullet point agendize. It's just an update to the community, what everybody's been working on. So thank you for your input.
And also, you know, in the government code, there's some specific requirements when you're hiring an executive or someone at the executive level. You know, it has to be done in open session, has to be done at a regular meeting. There's a bunch of requirements, but this is just a consultant.
So, I like Gerhardt's referral to, if we hire somebody to fix something, we don't have to report it. And it's basically what we did. He was familiar with the harbor. He could step in, get some reports that we needed. Otherwise, you'd have been on us for not having those reports. So now we got the reports. So
not
that's,
me. Yeah.
No, I didn't look at you. I said some people would have been on us for not having those reports.
But can I ask, when is Sandy supposed to come on? Because I missed that part.
The week after the end of the tax season, April 15th. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So end of the month.
Yeah.
April 22nd. Okay. I think it's 1 week.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I recall what it was. I didn't get a chance to say one of my bullet points. And that is, last night I graduated from the captain's course, the small harbor captain's course. I am proud to say that I was fourth in my class.
Congratulations.
Kills the kill. That's
great. And, however, was a graduate a few years ago. She performed much better in the class than I did. I'm still waiting my test results. He hasn't corrected them.
Oh,
my exam, so I haven't gotten my diploma yet. But I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
And have you requested to be addressed as captain going forward?
No, not at all.
Okay.
PFC.
I think we've reached the point of the grants update. Mike Barr, are you available?
I am. Commissioner, glad to be with you today. It's time my dogs were quiet and they just decided to go berserk because the garage door opened. So sorry for the background. So on the agenda is an update on the Hazard Mitigation Program grant. And it is a four-page update, but I just want to make sure to highlight a few of the things on this. And then open it up to questions. So really want to focus on Seawall and Citizens Dock. So the environmental and technical studies are just about complete. The environmentals are being circulated to all the agencies right now for final comments. And Mike and myself are being included on those. And as is MARAD because of the two PIDP grants, these are requirements also of the PIDP grants. And that's what opens the PIDP grant. So Moffitt and Nick will be on your agenda. It'd be great if it happens at the beginning of May, but it might be just a little bit later than that, to give a final report and present you with the NEPA and CEQA environmental report for your adoption. As mentioned in this, the during this process, seismic regulations for Delaware County changed. Now, we were one of the few counties that actually got changed. Seismic construction levels went from 5.6 to 8.0. The engineering was able to, because of the tests that were done and paid for with the strength of geotechnical study, get that down to a 7.2. But overall, it's about a $5 million shortfall. It's about a $10 million increase in construction. But in each of those grants, there was about $2.5 million of other items. So we'll be coming to you once at that, probably that same Moffitt and Nipple meeting with requests for budget adjustments in the PIDP grants before those are submitted to MARAD for final. So I'll come back to that $5 million, but basically it was taking from 8-inch, 10-inch pipes to 12 and 24 inch width steel pipes that'll need to be used in those projects. So it is a dramatic cost increase on those projects.
Okay.
You saw the, let's see, CREJA, you saw the TCA, and CREA will be using this TCA information for that. Getting to get back information back from SHN on the environmental site assessment at the boatyard, and it's looking really good. They did identify a couple other spots to test. They worked with Mike Rademacher, and they're going to get on site and take a look at those two sites, but it is looking good, and so we'll start an RFP and conversation with folks who are interested in both boat haul out and use of the boat. We're working on the RFP for the dredge spoils disposal pilot. There have been multiple conversations with the state around this pilot, and the expenditures to give the state everything they want, again, was about $950,000. What we're trying to work out right now is what is the minimal amount of information that state would need to actually allow dredging in front of the boatyard, in the boat haul out area, for the test, and that they would actually approve, rather than going for $1 million studies and then having them. So that's what we're kind of working on. That'll be the basis for the RFP. In the meantime, from Moffitt and Nickel was the request and the warning I have here in italics is do not convert the dredge pond into any other use until you have a final permit for an alternative dredge program. If you give up the ponds, even though the ponds at this point in time don't have an active permit, if you give up the ponds, there's no need to get the ponds back. Right now, that is for the harbor, potentially the other than transportation, could be the only area for dredge spoils.
Thank you, folks.
Just a quick item on the completion of the coastal trail. So for us to make up some of the items that we'd be cutting out of the budget from MARAD, we would go to the Coastal Conservancy, who we've spoke to about some of those items. The issue for Coastal Conservancy is there is an old grant that was a combination LAFCO, Delaware Transportation and Harbor District grant from 6-7 years ago that has not been officially closed out. Caltrans needed to do their item, which was the crosswalk across 101, which they completed last year, and the harbor's match to that grant. This is for the paved coastal trail that's now in the harbor. The harbor's match was paving around across the green space. Connect that crosswalk to that paved trail in the commercial fishing area. So we are preparing an RFP for that right now to see what that, and then bring you back some, what those costs would be. California Coastal Conservancy could not cover the cost because it's the match on another Coastal Conservancy. So we need to get that one closed out. Finally, Mike mentioned this potentially, very important is that finally, after 3 years, the grant funds have been released for application from the Regional Investment Initiative. A lot of folks know this as Redwood Region RISE, right? It's the state funds that have been supporting that program. These funds were made available 3 years ago for local infrastructure projects, but they put a front end on it that required lots of planning, lots of cooperative, lots of meetings, lots and lots of studies. Grant application finally opened. The grant application is done regionally, so the grant application would be competing against other applicants in the Redwood region, so Lake, Mendocino, Humboldt, and Del Norte. Harbored it, and was that a question or that just a sound?
It was just a sound.
Yeah.
A notice of intent was a requirement for this application. Inside the Redwood region, Harbor District was the only applicant who submitted a notice of intent. It has to be a multi-project. The funds have to be used for something that is going to support both current and future projects. So we used all of the kind of listed all of the items that will be happening and need funding to support commercial fisheries, including the shortfall now in the construction of Citizens Dock and Seawall. So asking for $5 million. The next stage is to put in a pre-application. So we are working on that. That's due just before the end of this month. So we are spending a lot of time, but this is also a very political process. Even though we're the only applicant, doesn't mean that the state has to fund this. So it really is going to require that the Harbor District gather support from all of the other members of Redwood Region RISE. And I have attached a list of those members so that if Harbor Commissioners have relationships with them, to please contact them and let them know that this application is going through the system. We will also be spending 5 minutes on the grants and on the covenants on this at the economic summit. And a lot of those attendees will be members of Redwood Region RISE. So we will put into their ear how important this project is. Because without Citizens Dock, without the seawall, there is, we will have a closure of commercial fishing. And that will just cost us even more to try to fix it after it fails, compared to fixing it before they completely break down. And then I attached the notice of intent also onto this memo, so you'll be able to see it, but it's items that we have discussed before. That's really it. Open for questions from you all.
Can I speak?
Please go ahead.
Mike, I've just been made aware of a new law, or I don't know how new it is, but in California about the fuel tanks over the water, around the water, and by 2026, all fuel tanks will have to be above ground. And so our fuel tanks existing are going to be I guess they'll be able to operate, but it's like a $50,000 a year fine for operating with them. And Humboldt's looking into it, and I guess they're scrambling to get something done before that law comes into effect. So when we're doing our seawall, I think that really is something we're going to have to address and take into effect. And I don't know, I wrote down that you said fishing fleet support services, those fuel tanks could maybe go in a part of that or something, because, yeah.
Would that
yes.
fine be tied to the supplier, the fuel supplier?
Or I don't think so, it's the harbor. I know Humboldt is very concerned about it because their tanks are in the ground like ours, and starting in 2026, they have to be above ground. And and they're going to get fined. Humboldt, but maybe the supplier will get fined too. But the fine to Humboldt was like $50,000. I think it might have been a month, but I think I don't know. But it was a substantial fine, one we can't operate with.
My question was back on the boatyard. I just had a question about having to have two more samples. I know Fashion Blacksmith had their sampling done to clear them, and then when they vacated, we have our sampling done to clear us, but all of the samples came back clean. So what other two additional ones are needed, or why are they needed?
Yeah, so there's one that's actually in the water that they wanted to do, and then another one is it was like a storage area, I think, where some stuff was piled up, and it's sort of a follow-up, I think, to the phase one. But we're anticipating that it'll come back clean. And he said that he could have it done within about 3 to 4 weeks, he said, the lab time. And I just told him to go ahead and start mobilizing for phase two, even though we haven't gotten the phase one report, because we have enough information to go forward with that. And it's on the consent calendar for the board to approve. But he was able to lower the cost based on the information from phase one. He was originally projecting a $20,000 cost, and he's lowered it to $10,000 now. But do you want me to get you some more specific information?
I guess I was just curious if it cleared with one agency and now another agency's done and it's cleared. For the most part, it just seems odd that, to me, it seems odd that we need two more samples. There weren't in-water samples already conducted. I know we did them years ago.
If the board wants, I mean, you could skip the phase two if you want. I mean, it's discretionary. It's just really to protect us. And but talking to Mike Barr, you know, we really strongly recommend that you do the phase two, because, you know, down the road, if something is discovered, I mean, it could be a huge liability. So do you want to say anything more about that, Mike Barr?
Mike, is this something that's agendized?
No matter what happens there, the next thing that happens is going to require a permit. That permit is going to require either CEQA or NEPA. CEQA or NEPA, if we have a study in hand, we can submit that as clearance for those tests. Otherwise, we'll be, so from a third party, compared to having to have the state come out and pull those tests and submit them that way. So having the third party do it is much less expensive, gets it out of the way, and you are protected in case something is found. You don't want it found later when you're renting it. Now it's your responsibility. It's currently still former tenant, under the state law, former tenant responsibility.
And it is fully grant funded too. But of course, it's money we could use it, you know, obviously it's opportunity cost. We could use it for something else, but, you know.
It has to be done.
I mean, I think it's prudent to be cautious, and, you know, it's, like Mike said, we're going to have to deal with it down the road. These guys have already, you know, mobilized, getting things ready to go. But it's ultimately, it's the board's decision, but it's my recommendation that we do it.
Is that agendized?
The consent calendar. Yeah, sorry to get too far in. Yeah.
But it was also on this. And so, I'm sorry, Mike, to clarify, these two samples, they're within the old boatyard area, or are they within the old harbor haul-out space?
So I think
they're within what looks to be a boatyard slope, right? Items that have sloped out from the boatyard into the water.
It's basically like in the sinker lift area, and then also, I don't remember exactly where the piling is that they identified, but it's within the boatyard. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You seem to be, is it okay with you if I take one
comment?
We're not there yet, but We have one public comment.
I'm not
interrupting.
I'm not interested in allowing somebody to monopolize our time, but if you'd like to proceed that way, that's fine.
All right, go ahead. Yeah.
I apologize. I'm sorry. I just have to leave. I have a stupid appointment. Well, it's not stupid,
go ahead.
But I have a conflicting appointment for a couple weeks, few weeks. And the reason I wanted to say something is because I'm not here to give comment at the end. If you guys make it to the end and don't put it off to another agenda when you're going over the Harbor Master decision making, I gave comment to Annie to give you guys some input and guidance and suggestions and stuff.
Right.
And I just wanted you guys to know that don't construe it, because I won't be here. Please don't construe it as anything negative. It's supposed to be constructive criticism, Mike, okay?
Okay, no, I appreciate it.
Okay,
bye.
All right. Go ahead. Any questions to Mike?
No. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
I appreciate it very
That's
much.
It.
Thank you.
Me.
See you
any
all next
public
week.
Question
yeah.
about grants? All right. Then we move on to the consent calendar. Consent calendar items are considered routine and will be approved and. By one motion, the public, staff, or commissioners may request specific items be removed from the consent calendar for separate consideration. Point A, approved minutes of March 26th, 25 special and regular meetings. Is there any comment?
Yeah, I ask that be pulled from the consent calendar so I can make the following comment.
Commissioner Weber, Sandy had a comment on the previous item. We didn't put some.
It
had to
be approved.
Oh, sorry, Sandy. On the grant update, okay.
All right, let's just track back, cycle back. Okay.
Hello.
Yes.
So, I'm not sure how the process works here. It used to be that I would just say comment and you guys would acknowledge me, but I've started doing the chat thing so you would know I was there because somehow I started being muted at every meeting. So, can I just get clarification? Can I just speak, or am
yeah,
I
go ahead.
Acknowledge me in the chat?
The hand.
So the reason why you are muted now is to protect from anyone coming in and Zoom bombing the meetings for a very long time. This meeting, anyone can mute themselves at any time, and that creates a lot of issue. I know that I think it was a city council meeting had a recent issue within the past year with that. So we do ask that for public comment over Zoom that you throw a message into the comments or use the raise hand function.
Greg, I will be quicker at typing my comment, please, then. Thank you. The only thing I wanted to say is Mike Barr, really looking forward to talking with you after April 22nd to get financials on the grants, because I think that's huge going forward in a financial situation. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right,
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to ask that we, I have a general attitude that I'd like to express, and that is, we know we're involved in litigation, okay, concerning public participation in meetings. We've had a bylaw amendment regarding public comment. So I would like it noted in our minutes when there's been an episode of a public disturbance that interferes with the orderly conduct of our commission. And I believe that on March 26th, there was such a disturbance. I won't go into details, we're all familiar with it, but I would like our March 26th, 2025 regular meeting minutes to reflect the fact of that disturbance and the reason why, because I think we need, in defense of ourselves in further litigation from these same people, we need to show a pattern and practice of disturbing the commission meetings so we can emphasize in our defense that some constraints are sometimes necessary. So that's the logic and substance of my concern.
Do we?
I will move to approve the meetings, the minutes of the meetings for March 26th with Dan's addition to be put on those meetings that there was a disturbance that disrupted the commission meeting on March 26th.
Is that second?
I'll second that.
Okay.
So So I have a comment on that. I don't think that's required by the rules of order. And how do you propose that we document that?
Oh, just a comment. When the meeting, well, let's see, I think we have some minutes here. So I'll just make an delineation as to how the agenda item proceeded, and we just write down basically if there was a disturbance that took place and identify the party.
And we identify the nature of disturbance.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand what John's concern is. It's not really the minutes are words that are, but is our actions, can they go into the minutes?
Well, I think that.
Well, I'd like to reiterate that the minutes aren't a diary; they're for agendized items, so
okay.
Requiring a vote. If there's another way outside of the minutes to document that, I think that might be more prudent than documenting.
I got you, because it isn't part of the minutes of the meeting. That's true.
What if we put it in the Harbor Patrol log? Would that be okay?
I think that would be more appropriate.
So yeah. Then I'll second my, I mean, I amend my motion to approve the minutes without that addition.
Yeah, I think we should document it. However, I don't think the minutes is the appropriate.
Perfect. I agree with that 100%.
All right. That's the roll call.
I don't think we need a vote. There's no
motion. Yeah, that's there. Well.
I made a motion.
Oh, okay.
Well, we could do the...
I agree with that motion and second.
Can you reiterate the motion, please?
That we approve the meeting minutes for March 26, 2025. And Dan seconded it, so okay. I think we can just go aye, but whatever. Yeah.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Aye.
Commissioner Shepherd?
Aye.
Vice Chair Niemer?
Aye.
Chair Weber?
Aye. All right. Point B, approve non-recurring expenditures over $2,000. I advanced security access control systems for dock gates and II phase two environmental site assessment for boatyard parcel. Mike, do you want to introduce us to the concept?
Lieutenant Hanks, are you around the corner?
Yeah.
I don't know if does the board want to hear any details about the gates? I mean, I think you guys are kind of familiar with it, but if you want any additional insight, I could have our Harbor Patrol Lieutenant explain why we're spending the money. Do you guys want to hear?
What's the cost? I haven't heard that.
It's about $5,000 approximately. Yeah.
For the total, all the gates?
I think it's just DDoC, right?
So the only gates that we have operational with equipment already installed is E and D. We also have equipment installed on the E-Dock restroom facility, which is 5 doors, men's room, women's room, laundry, shower, A and B.
And we're talking about a key fob.
Yes.
So we've already had $5,000 to get us up to this key fob.
Yes. We already had a system going, if you want to call it that. It was full of issues and very rarely ever worked properly. We would like to switch to the new system that is advertised as superior to the one that we had, and just what we already had, re-get that working again.
So this
we can add gates in the future if the board so chooses, which I would recommend we do.
So this is a key fob system, you said?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not a physical key?
It's not a traditional key. It's just a little fob beep and you get in.
Does it log entries onto the dock?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I can program it to where it will not allow anyone in without key fob at all. I can program it to where you are free access between hours here and here, restricting general public access. To that note, we had an issue 2 weeks ago on the docks where a fight between a fisherman and a tourist took place and some knives were used. So nobody got hurt, but we're lucky nobody got hurt. So,
can you include us on a mailing with these incidents when there's a...
Yeah, sure. Yeah, if there's a critical incident, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Does this change the locking mechanism?
Nope. Everything that is there has already been used, so all they're doing is putting their hardware on or software and making work again, essentially.
Are we still having issues with people jimmying the locks to keep them open and causing damage to them?
With
yes.
Lock.
Visual lock. Okay.
Yeah.
But this one?
For docks A, B, and C, and then C work, those are all just open, freely open. They actually blow open in the wind. So the fishermen block them open so that they can move their gear back and forth, which is completely understandable. You guys need to be able to move stuff, and the door is a hindrance, but it also is a security thing. So, yes.
Are key fobs going to be required for all the boat operators?
Yes, they will. However, all of the key fobs that we had already issued with the previous system will be integrated into the new system, so anyone who's got one can use it again.
So any changes or additions to that are included in the price?
Yes.
Thank you.
So this is approximately $5,000-ish?
Yeah, I think we've got the quote actually in the packet. If you could, oh, it's right there. Yeah, if you could just zoom in on that a little bit, Gavin.
My one, this was brought up several months ago, correct, about changing companies?
Yes.
Right, and is there an issue why we couldn't wait another 3 weeks until we have a semi-formal budget, at least to see where the harbor's at? I realize $5,000 doesn't sound like a lot, but we really have no idea where the harbor's standing. Is there an issue with waiting another 3 weeks?
More complaints, more incidents could possibly take place, but from a financial standpoint, I can see your point. Yeah.
My question was, Andy, do you find it necessary? I know in the past you were really instrumental in trying to get something, and I was against it.
Yeah.
I've always been against it, but anyways, I'm old school and like the docks to be free, but anyways, I go along with it, and I agree that it's needed, but if you don't think it's needed, I'm all on board.
Well, I'm super for the gates, as you know, because we had incidents.
I gotcha.
But when the docks on the gates on A, B, and C that he said swing freely open, they were also designed poorly. They swing open into the sidewalk and not open into the dock. It was a poor design.
Couldn't tell you why they did that.
So
don't know.
We're just fixing the gates that are always being jimmied and destroyed at a time when we don't have the budget to know if we can afford them, in likely events that there's going to be jimmying when we don't know what our budget is. My concern. Not A, B.
I was there when they started. They were supposed to swing the other way, but it was the company's fault. For when we went to install them, there was no way that. I was with Rich, and we couldn't figure out how to install them any other way than the way they swing, so it wasn't our fault. But,
yeah.
And whether they're there, but I know we'll take the blame. So.
I do have another additional quote that's not included here for all of the gates to be done. That's an additional $5,000. But that is due to the fact that the remaining gates, A, B, C, do not have any equipment at all installed. There's no boxes, there's no hardware, no software, no chipboards, anything. It's just a gate. Okay. So he'd need to have all of the equipment installed. So that's why that's an additional cost of $5,000.
And that's for the rest of the gates?
Yes.
And is it cheaper because they're already here doing the work, or is that something that can be added on at a later time?
It's something that can be added on at a later time.
At that price?
Yeah. Okay. Not at the full $10,000. That $10,000 quote includes all gates. Mm-hmm. If we only get what we already had repaired and working again, it's $5,000. To add all of the equipment and everything else for all the remaining gates, that would bump it up to $10,000.
We can wait until after the budget comes out to discuss any additional gates.
Yes.
Okay.
Are there security concerns that would override a decision being made today, in your opinion?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Due to the incident that took place last week with a couple of people pulling knives on some fishermen, I've also had people getting on board boats because they thought it was cool. Sleeping on board boats. I found them sleeping in sleeping bags on the deck of a boat because, well, you know, I thought it would be neat. Not so much when a fisherman's on board. Some of them are known to get a little squirrely.
Mr. Evans, it is why I was a giant proponent of this. We personally experienced a heroin addict hop on the boat with my husband on the boat.
Yep.
I think it is a huge security concern to the fleet. It's probably something that needs to be done sooner or later. I understand your concern.
Do you want to make a motion then that we wait till the, or table this, or what's your...
I would like to make a motion that we table this until there's a budget present to know, while there's a valid security concern, that security concern has persisted throughout the years, which is why we increased security hours, which did significantly reduce some of the issues we were having. It doesn't stop them.
It helped, yeah.
But it did help increasing security. And so I would like to ensure that we have... We're fiscally responsible.
Okay.
Can I suggest that instead of tabling it, we continue this until we have the budget?
I think our motion was to wait until the budget was out.
Yeah, but instead of tabling it, we would just continue it when we have a budget available to see where we're at financially.
And we do have a public comment from that.
Okay. We'll move it along to the next meeting then.
Okay.
Because this is what we...
He's asking if you want to hear the public comment about it.
Yeah. Right, public comment?
I have one question.
Sandy.
If you could hold on just a second.
Okay. Sandy?
Yep.
Okay, a couple of things. You know, consent calendar means there is no discussion. Consent calendar means you guys have all read it beforehand and you all know how you vote. You're ready to say yay or nay and there's no discussion. It's my understanding is what a consent calendar is. Otherwise, why do you have public comment if you guys are going to make motions and make decisions without allowing public comment between each item, number one. So that's what I would have said if I'd been able to comment previously. Moving on, and what I would have said, John, I'd take a point with you regarding Dan Schmidt wanted to put a note into the minutes. As a secretary for 15 plus years, I would tell you absolutely you want to put comments in like that, because I go to the next comment I wanted to make was, you know, after all your closed sessions, I've asked, what is the case? What is the litigation? And somebody just made a comment about, we know we're in litigation. Well, now you are in known litigation. Why does the public not know what that issue is? Because I don't feel like you've told us anything about current litigation. I'm just saying now, as a secretary, I would absolutely, if you guys feel the need to point out something that would be in your favor in a litigation, you would want to put that in a minute. Because a minute, at a minimum, is motions and votes. But at a maximum and at its optimum, it's writing your history so we can all know what it was a year from now in 25 words or less. And then the next thing, you guys did table this money spending, because I would absolutely say if you don't have to spend that money right now, give it 3 weeks and then you've got good financials and you can make good decisions on how to spend what money you have and when to spend it. That's all I have for public comment.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to ask a question. I've only driven past these gates, so I've never gotten up close and personal, and therefore I have no idea what I'm talking about to put that into account. But
Mr. Chair,
it would seem to me that just maybe someone who understands the actual construction of those gates could invest in something simple like padlocks for a couple of bucks for 3 weeks and hand out some keys or make them available to the people who need to use those padlocks. So we just have some security on the short run between now and when you get to deal with it, so you don't 3 weeks from now look back and say, oh my God, look what happened in those 3 weeks. So but again, I don't know how they're constructed or what, but where would I padlock keys, collect them back, cut them off, throw them away when you're ready to install the fancy stuff?
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Carmen? I have a question for it. Do you actually know how many people come in and out of the gate? What's the process? Do you watch these people coming out of the gate, going down to the boat? I have a suggestion. If you do put the security system in, go ahead and put a doorbell. Every time that door opens, it's going to ring, and you'll be able to know if anybody's going down to the dock or not.
It's already logged in the system.
Is it?
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to know if there was any kind of system to track, because, you know, I mean, it's okay. You can have like four people go through the same gate, or sometimes two people. And there's a disruption. I've seen it down here many a time, especially weird at night, drunks. And I stay away from them. It's the best thing I ever found. But, you know, I would like to keep track. And on top of that, like he was mentioning earlier, where the comments were on the meetings of the day, I think we should keep a ledger separate of the comments. And then we should have a special meeting of some type in the future that can represent, come back. We could look at this ledger of complaints and see exactly if it's the same complaints, or maybe it's something new. We don't know. Or, and probably nothing will ever come out of it, because a lot of times people just get like this, not really a lot of action. And when there was disruption in meetings, I found over the years, nothing really came out of it. It was just, look what happened to us, you know, when we first started. Right? Was it disruption? So it's,
yeah, I think we need to.
It would help. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's get this
anything else
back to where
we're going. Don't smash your phone with your phone.
Thank
you. Don't smash your
phone.
No, it's a different color, yeah.
Chair.
Yeah, all right. Yeah,
I'd like to make
put it in hand.
Go ahead.
Amend the existing motion to remove that item from the consent calendar and agendize it.
Which item?
The advanced security access systems for dock gates.
Okay.
From the consent calendar and agendize it at a future meeting.
All right. Let's do that and so we can discuss it, I guess.
All right. Perfect.
Cool.
Let's go to the second part. Yeah. Phase two, okay. Environmental site assessment for Bulliard Parcel. What's the story there?
That's the one we were discussing, you know, with Mike Barr. And were there any additional clarification that the board wanted on that item? Or
no, that's why I got clarification before the consent calendar. Thank you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. If you want to scroll down, there's just a few things that were in the packet, but my recommendation is that we move forward. You know, in my conversations with Steve Opp and the architect, they identified this parcel as one that could be early, quick win. And so I think it's in our interest to get it cleared and open, you know, to be leased as soon as possible. So.
Do you need a motion to
I think.
I was waiting for the Crab Festival.
Yeah.
I forgot.
The next one on the agenda?
It's supposed to be the consent calendar in this phase two. We're talking about, you said $20,000, but this says $7,500 currently within budget. Updated cost not to exceed $10,000. I'm struggling to follow this.
So the phase one was approved at a previous meeting that we had, and yeah, that's not expected to exceed the $7,500. And then the phase two, he was initially...
Two samplings.
Yeah, there's a little bit of extra, he has to write up a report. I think he has to put some pictures and, I'd have to pull up his proposal from a few months ago. But it's a little bit more than just the two samples, but... because it's like it's a write up and an out. I think it's a risk analysis he has to write up, but
it should be.
Yeah.
This should be in the action items.
Yes.
I don't think it has anything there.
We could change the approach. I was thinking that these would be pretty uncontroversial and not require a lot of discussion. But if you guys would prefer to have these expenditures over $2,000 as separate items, I can definitely do that. That's.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I would move that we do that.
Okay.
Perhaps at John's motion to move the gate discussion to a future date, perhaps this one could go to the same gate, say perhaps 2 weeks from now, or what is it, May 23rd, our next meeting?
Hopefully April.
We have one more in April.
I still burned out from last night. Okay, well, April 23rd.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're just going to move B totally
and
to the next meeting.
I mean, I would... I mean, this is a little bit different because it's grant-funded, so it doesn't really come out of our budget. And I would just really encourage the board to approve it if... Unless you have an
phase two of environmental site assessment for boatyard parcel. That's what you're saying that we should.
Yeah, just because talking to Steve Oppen, maybe the commissioners, I think you were on the call when he was talking about how that's a parcel that we could really focus on in the near future, you know, really try and get some revenue coming in.
So, revenue from it, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm kind of anxious to get this done and wrapped up. And with it being grant funded, you know, I feel like we don't have to necessarily wait for our budget unless...
I believe the chair can remove it from the consent calendar and bring it up for discussion and a vote.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll move it up to the action item section then.
Okay. Yeah.
Basically, have
make a motion to do the phase two environmental site assessment for the boatyard parcel.
Yeah. Can you wait? I'm going to start the action item section, and then you make your motion. I just moved it up one section to make it quick. Okay, next, I'm moving the phase two environmental site assessment for the boatyard parcel up to the action items section. And at this point, let's start out with it. We have reached number four, action items. So as the first action item is, then now, whatever we have just discussed, do we need to have any more clarification on that as far as commissioners are concerned?
I have one more point. While it is grant money, I'm going to point out that our grant money is a budgeted item. It is still limited, and I understand the grant's divided up into percentage this and percentage that, but without figures, I really have problems just saying, okay, like, if our grant's $7 million and there's allocated for $500,000 in this subsection, I would like to see those financial numbers and how this comes off of that and what's remainder and what's planned for that. Not just, I understand if we don't pay for it through the grant, we're going to have to probably pay for it later out of our pocket. So there's incentive to do that. But without a financial numbers in front of us, we shouldn't be just authorizing spending money.
So I'll provide a little clarification, and maybe this will be sufficient, but if not, I understand. So this is being funded through the HMGP grant, you know, which was approximately $1 million. We're using that same grant to fund the architect, you know, which was, and Creed, that was about $50,000. So we still have like in excess of $900,000 in this grant, and we don't currently have anything specifically planned for it. So we're kind of trying to find, you know, these opportunities to use the grant money. You know, for me personally, I just like to move forward on this and get somebody in that building and get it leased. And, you know, we've got over $900,000 available from this grant.
I'm all for getting that boatyard going as soon as we possibly can. So, I mean, I think that's, anyways, that I'll shut up.
You made a motion already.
I'll second. Didn't quite like the motion.
No, I like the motion. I'm pointing out that if we're being asked to spend money, we should be shown some financials. Might clarify there is money there, but then
there's
kind of this pattern where we're asked to spend money without knowing what we have.
Okay,
so
that's
all I'm saying. Please, in the future, present some financials.
I want a boatyard. So that's where I stand. So
I will second your motion. I want a boatyard.
Call for the question.
Yes, go ahead.
My vote will join the other two. So I think we should take a vote.
We need to take a vote.
Public comment.
Okay, let's take a vote.
Public comment.
Oh, public comment.
Sandy has one online.
What is the final date that you have to spend money on that $1 million grant?
You know, I don't know offhand.
Close?
Yeah, I don't know offhand, Sandy. Sorry. I couldn't tell you.
So besides not knowing our money, which we haven't had a financial report in several months, knowing what that date is really important as well. Mike Barr, you don't have that?
I don't know if he's still on. Is he?
No, I think he left.
No, he's here.
don't know. He might not be paying attention. I could message him.
I'm here.
Okay.
That question needs to come from the board. Is the board asking how much money is in this grant and what the date is?
Yeah.
Final date is.
Yeah. So you've got till mid-2027. There are still more RFPs to go out. Mike's right. There's over $900,000 left. I also believe the board, the previous board, already approved this contract for $27,500. So the only adjustment is reducing the amount of money in this contract.
So if the previous board approved this, does it need to come before us then?
Well,
so
I mean,
the previous board in December.
I'm trying to be very cautious because of the new bylaws and approving expenses over $2,000. I don't want someone to come to me later on and say, you know, you did this without the board's authority. Obviously, people have gotten in trouble with that in the past. So this is out of an abundance of caution that, you know, I'm bringing it forward. And I think, you know, you could make the argument it's already been approved, but I just wanted this board to weigh in and, you know, put your stamp of approval on it. So, but
I will move that we do approve of the expense.
There's already a motion.
Okay.
So let's.
Can I ask a question, please?
No.
Have festivals later.
We're about to vote. Is there any?
This is really important, though.
To you. Okay. I mean,
this is monumentally important. It's a question and a response to your question. Is this federal money? Or state money? Where's this money coming from? The grant.
That's a federal grant.
Yeah, I think it's channeled through this.
Mike Barr, did you hear it?
So, this is basically federal money that was given to the state to administer. This is a grant that went through the grant review process at the federal level when all the grants were frozen. This grant has opened back up. This grant is, you're getting reimbursed for this grant. We are filing a new reimbursement tomorrow. We're working with staff, and staff will be putting in a reimbursement.
Okay, Northwestern University just got $1 billion grant vote, and Cornell University just got $750,000 of unspent grant federal money pulled. If it's today or yesterday, I'd be very careful with this so you know that you're prepared to pay for it in the event the grant money grows legs and walks away.
State of California has already gone through the process. We've already been informed by the feds and the state this money will not be pulled. This is not subject to that. To those federal guidelines.
Okay, thank you. Mike Barr, thank you very much for the clarification. Thank you very much for your concern. Please make the call. Okay. We're having the vote going on.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Agreed, yes.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Shepherd?
Aye.
Vice Chair Niemer?
Aye.
Chair Weber?
Aye. All right. We have reached point A, approved proposal for Crab Festival from Stephanie Abrams. All right.
Oh, dear. I don't know if I'm in the forum of proposal. Hang on. This is good.
Well,
I'm not the local. I spent 11 hours. Hi, I'm Stephanie Abrams. And I have all kinds of credentials, if you're interested in references, of my achievements in event planning, in increasing tourism, having served on every board you can name. You know a name of a brand? Yes, I served on that board. I've been in the travel industry more years than I care to admit to. And I have been honored and recognized with names and recognitions and titles for increasing tourism to small, undervalued destinations like Malta, like the Saxony region of Germany, Ireland, Curacao, the list goes on, Hong Kong. So my first draft took 11 hours, and I spent 10 hours last night doing stuff to refine it. And then I decided I'm not presenting it today because it's the horse before the cart. I learned so much in that first hour of the wonderful percolating that is going on here, that if properly implemented, followed up, followed through, is a wonderful, beautiful plan. But the missing factor is participation. Participation by vendors, people who want to be tenants, people who want to have revenue producing and tax producing shops, and the public to come and participate. And there are a lot of things that have to be put in place to make that happen. I have a list that's longer than my head to my feet of wonderful, creative, exciting events that I want to go to all of them. Among them being things that are both outdoor, walkable itineraries that will take people past shops and businesses in the Harbor District. Things like putting brass plaques into the concrete or asphalt or whatever that memorialized in this spot this happened, or from this spot you see, or this is an area that. And that's something that Pittsfield, Massachusetts did as a result of my meeting with the mayor at the time. There is, Pittsfield did a thing called Sheeptacular Pittsfield because the agriculture of the area was based on Merino sheep. And they had special sheep made by a company called Cow Painters. You've probably seen their life-size resin things in places in California, I'm sure, in Oregon, and other places. But this is the sheep we did, and I own two of them. They're in my backyard. You're welcome to come over. We moved them 3,400 miles across the country with us. But they're hand-painted by artists that stepped up to the plate. They were all sponsored by the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the banks, the insurance companies, the people who have money. And they sponsored so that there was money to pay the artist a stipend for their work. I love that one. That was Merino Antoinette. And that's one of mine. And you know, that's the original drawing based on my sponsorship of it. And I got to keep it because I sponsored a high enough rate. And then I bought another one at the auction. The city of Pittsfield, which is, it has industry, but it has always been, and it's not considered an affluent area. Everybody gets along. In the mountains in western Massachusetts, very rural, and very forgotten by Boston, 120 miles away. But the city of Pittsfield raised from this one, I think there were 75 sheep around town. And they were out from June till just after Labor Day, and then they were auctioned. Between the sponsorship money that came in and the auction money, they raised $345,000. And everybody loved it, and it brought tourism to town because people came and they walked around to see the sheep all over the neighborhoods in the downtown area, North Street and South Street. And by then, the brass plaques were also in the ground, so people had a double reason for wanting to come. That was an area that became derelict. It was a ghost town because the malls that went up 5 miles in each direction wiped out the downtown, which was just drug addicts and bums. It was not a pretty story. They completely turned it around, and it became the first Massachusetts city of culture, because of all the events that they ran. And I see such a parallel between that and this area in terms of taking what is an unpolished gem
and making it really sparkle so everybody else sees what a dazzling place this is. Regrettably, I was told recently, and if the numbers are correct, 15,000 people a day pass right by here. Somebody's got to stick their arm out and stop them. We're getting the pollution from their car, or getting the abuse of our roads, whether they stop or not. Why don't we make them stop? Let's give them some really good reasons, and you've got a magnificent start. I had no idea what I was walking into at 1 o'clock. That was such a wonderful surprise. So, and I kept hearing again and again, oh, and we need events, and we need events. The idea about Crab City, I thought somebody's got to own that trademark. That's just too simple. Well, somebody did. Go to...
Not trademarked.
No, it's not.
No,
he died. He abandoned it in 2012. And I go to trademark.genius.something. I just looked it up. And this guy in Massachusetts who owned it, there's a bunch of restaurants with that name, and he abandoned the trademark. Yeah. And the last time the government went after it was 2020 with an abandoned, a second or third abandonment notice. So you got a chance to get it. And I mean today. Because somebody in this room is going to walk out of here and grab the trademark, and you're going to have to buy it from them. If you do, I'm going to smack your senses. Just know that. But in any event, it goes on all the time. Just go and fill out the paper. It's like $90 or something to start the process. It's also cheaper to do it yourself, and you can, than to involve a lawyer unless your lawyer's on retainer. I am thrilled to know that you have indoor buildings. That makes you absolutely a 12-month destination. And it pains me. I mean, I have 4 pages of notes of things I should talk about based on things people said in this meeting. Number one, if nobody went out to a place because it was raining, then Ireland would never have a visitor. It rains every day. I am an expert on Ireland. Every time somebody tells me, oh, you don't know this place, I say, try me. I know everything about the place. It rains every day. Europe, they get the worst, most horrible rain, sleet, snow, ice in the wintertime. And yet, go in December, try to get on a plane to get into Munich or Berlin for the Christmas fairs. And it's 40 below and slippery. So forget about the weather. I lived in Massachusetts in the mountains. You don't know what weather is. Rain is an inconvenience that leaves us without drought. So it's not so terrible. You don't have to deal with snow and ice and misery. And if you think you have hotels, somebody said, we have hotels. This is your wake-up call. You don't have hotels. You think you have hotels. You've got some very nice places, surprisingly, very nice places to stay here, but there aren't that many rooms. And if you really want to see tourism, you need to be able, if you're in retailing, the money's in wholesaling. If you're in travel, the money's in groups. People fall over each other. Companies, tour operators, airlines, cruise lines, they're not looking for you and your spouse. They're looking for you and the Lions Club, and the Rotary Club, and the PTA, and the dance club, and the music group, and the orchestra. They want to move 100 people at a time. That's where the money is. If you had a conference center, and it doesn't have to be like a San Francisco conference center, but you take one of those buildings, and you just divide it up like a Hollywood soundstage. Part of it's an auditorium. Part of it is breakout rooms. Part of it is like a galley, like you get on a suite on a ship, where you got, you know, microwave and whatever, and the food comes in, and they just prepare it and serve it for coffee breaks and meals and whatever. Then you can go after Globus Cosmos. You can go after CIT Tours. You can go after American Express Vacations. And for God's sakes, I don't know who is really doing anything with Advanced Air. Those people land the plane every day. Well, at least in the higher seasons of the year. Otherwise, I understand it's a couple times a week. I'm still waiting for the call back from Levi Stock. There needs to be a relationship with those people. And on the plane, have them giving out, here's the calendar for the next 3 months of activities going on in the hub of the harbor. This needs to be the happening place, the in place, and all kinds of involvement of the community, because every time a child performs, dances, sings, does acrobatics, 15 people come. Grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends. So you want, it's like crocheting. You start with a needle and just a ball of yarn, and when you're done, you've got a blanket. And that's what needs to be done. A big picture that is a 12-month program. I have been to places like Belvedere Castle in Ireland in December, where for the 2 weeks before Christmas, and you've got the same property to be able to do it. They take a little piece of the castle and they turn it into Narnia. Do you all know what Narnia is? Okay. They got a wardrobe. You open it up. There's some clothes. You push them aside. The back wall is open. It's a doorway on the other side in the castle. And they got permission from Disney in this little no place in Westmeath, Ireland, to use Narnia, to actually use the trademark that Disney owns. And they set up Narnia. You go through the closet, you come on the other side, they've got trees, they put down plastic, they spray ivory snow or something on the floor, it looks like snow. And at the end of going through some rooms and ooh and ah, there's Santa Claus. And they used to charge 10 euros a kid. And the kid left with a present. And the first time, and when he got out the back door, because that took you out of the castle, there was a petting zoo with little reindeer and stuff. Cute as could be, adorable. And they made a fortune on it. And they wrapped 10,000 presents. And they went through them in the first week. And it was a 2-week thing running up to Christmas. So you've got everything. Coming up with ideas for events, not hard. Planning it, not hard. Implementing it, a little involved, not hard. None of it's rocket science. But to do it, you got to do it. And you've got to get people's minds thinking harbor, the hub of the harbor. Everything that's important, all the activity, all the fun, rock bands, Dixieland bands, swing bands, whatever, going on all the time. This place should be like a three-ring circus. And I am thrilled to see how far along you are because of what I saw here today. You've already, the first part is, if you didn't have the infrastructure, I'd be telling you, invest in what they call in Ireland a marquee. Fancy word for a tent. But they're thick, and they're built like Denver Airport. You know, with big peaks on the top. They look like big, like the Pasha is living there. Because you could do it. You've got the sidewalks, you've got the grass, you've got the beaches. And there are things that can be done. Many of them will cost you either nothing or next to nothing. But in terms of the running theme is, you know, not who's got the beef, who's got the money. I'm happy to hear you're already very well versed in leaning on grants. There are tourism grants galore for non-profit organizations interested in developing tourism. Those are usually the two regulations. Sometimes they are only for the events, they cannot be used for food, and they cannot be used for capital improvements. Every now and then you come across one that allows capital improvements. And I just got one a year before we moved from Massachusetts. I got $75,000 for my little town of 3,200 people to build a pavilion through the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. So I'm going to email you, Mike, the PowerPoint and the original document, which is 11 and a half pages long. And you've got more ideas there than you'd know what to do with. But when I listen to what can't be done and negativity and it's not going to work and it rains here. You know, I just want to hold my head because it all can be done. It all can be done. There are entire island nations, especially in the Caribbean, but elsewhere. If it weren't for tourism, nobody would eat. Everything is based on tourism. Here, you got other stuff going on. And it's really important to set up programs that elevate the importance of the fishermen and the crappers and have all kinds of wonderful things going on with, you know, tall tales from the sea and you know, story time and come and learn how to make nautical knots. And I don't know what the fishermen would be interested in, but if they could organize it so that people could, you know, go out for 60 or 90 minutes. There's a guy in Ireland named Bill O'Brien. He had one boat called the Happy Hooker. A hooker is a kind of boat, not what you think it is. And then he had the second boat, I forget the name of it, and then he bought Doolin Ferries. So he now owns about 5 or 6 boats and he's in semi-retirement or what, fabulous guy. But out of nowhere, he built 30-minute, 90-minute, half-day, and 2.5 hours out to the Aran Islands. Drop you off, pick you up tomorrow or the next day, bring you back. And that's all he does, takes people out so they get, as a matter of fact, I have a puffin that's on the back of me, right? And from spring until middle of July, the puffins are in Ireland, the way we have the seals and the sea lions. And then they go out to sea so they don't get eaten by predators with their babies. They leave. But he takes people out on the boats, and it's a wonderful thing, and they come back, and they spend the day in Doolin. And what is Doolin? A lot of roads strung together by pubs and music. Music everywhere. Live music everywhere you walk into. And the musicians pay when you buy them a pint. That's their pay. They just come to play music. They're not paid by the publicans. So, you know, the list is endless of what can be done. And I watched between 2008 and beginning of 2013, Ireland got hit worse than America did with the banking fiasco. And Sean Reedy raised 3 million euros and built a whole new visitor center during that banking downturn at the Dunbrody Famine Ship on the harbor in County Wexford. The Gobbins, a series of stainless steel walkways attached to the cliff, to the sides of the cliffs. You walk along the cliffs, you're hanging over the ocean, the water's splashing up on you. That's the Gobbins at Island McGee in Northern Ireland, just half an hour from entering into the Republic of Ireland. They raised £2 million sterling to build all the scaffolding that was there and made out of iron and rusted and fell into the ocean decades ago. And everybody said it can't be done. Nobody has money. The banks are in trouble. People losing their houses. And in typical Irish mentality, and this is the reason I have no Irish blood. I was a leprechaun once in another lifetime. In typical Irish mentality, the philosophy is not that it's serious and it's hopeless. No, their mentality is it's hopeless, but it's not serious. And so with that sense of humor and that persistence and that vision, and clearly I know you've got the vision because I just witnessed it. You're on the right track. You just got to bring this locomotive into the next station and have a marching band waiting there to greet you when you arrive. And it can, I'm here to tell you, it can be done. I could do it in my sleep. You know,
I'm sorry to interrupt,
Stephanie. From the event side.
Is there no crab festival proposal then?
The entire year long has an overhanging crab city mentality. The entire year. And out of all of this, somewhere when the actual official crab season ends, the fact that that ends sometime in the spring or early summer or whenever it's decreed that it's ended, there's still the rest of the year. So yes, there would be the lunches, the brunches, the dinners, the cooking demonstrations, involve all of the local shops with diagrams and inexpensive decor that they can decorate their windows in keeping of whatever the theme of the month is. Yes, and the creation of a Crescent City, Crab City cookbook that is made up in four sections of recipes from local folks, residents, recipes from local chefs, recipes from the coastline chefs, and international celebrity chefs that I know, who two of them, three of them already promised they would give me recipes that have to do with crabs. And I think some kind of specialty crescent roll crab sandwich, it just is very fitting into, you know, the whole mentality. But all of it, and having volunteer people, and only getting stuck into paying for them if you have to, but you'll get it. They'll be able to get volunteer people to be crab ambassadors. Yes, who wear a crab hat. I have my crab hat in there. Wear their crab hat. Have a sash that says, "Welcome to Crab City. Welcome to Crescent Beach Harbor." And walk around the town, the district, having maps with more that have on it the places you want to go to visit, to see, whatever, on the back, the calendar, and ads from the local shops who support it so that you don't have a bill to pay for it.
Stephanie, our agenda talks about approve a proposal for a crab festival from Stephanie Abrams. Do you have such a proposal now? If you don't,
we have another 2 minutes
of
the presentation, but I understand your concern.
Okay. If you have one, give it to us. If you don't, get one to us, and then we'll have him back on. And
what was given to me in terms of a direction was, what would you do in terms of events to create interest and motivate people to want to come and be down in this region, creating revenue and money for tax rolls and everything else. So, you know, and really, what kind of events would you do? And so this was kind of an overview of, yeah, you can do this. And when you say a proposal, what is the aim of your proposal? Because when I wrote, and I can email it to each of you, or I'll send it to Mike, he can share it with everybody.
What I've distilled from your presentation so far is you have a warehouse of ideas.
And the knowledge of how to make it happen.
That's obvious, very obvious to all of us. And we spent some time together, didn't we?
Yeah, 4 hours.
Yeah.
And thank you
for
that.
Imagine that, guys, 4 hours.
And I went to the egg farm because of you the other day and bought eggs there.
Oh,
that was because of you. Thank you very much.
So, what I would very much like to see from you, because I know what you're capable of delivering, is a proposal for our crab festival here. Come up with a proposal. You want a crab cooking contest, you want crab recipe books submitted
crab
for everybody.
Race.
A crab race.
I know, you know, all kinds of crab races. I mean, the list goes
just
on.
Just threw that
okay.
in here.
So let's just give
it's
us
a novel idea.
A list from head to toe that you talked about that you have. Give it to us, please, so we can hold it in our hands, we can discuss it, share it with the public, share it with the media, the news media, and get going on these ideas. But let's get that. So when do you think you have that available?
And add to that, in our meeting the other day, Steve Opp and them, they say that's one of the mandatory things that we have to get back in Crescent City is the Crab Festival. So we were waiting for a proposal for the Crab Festival, but I'm enjoying all your ideas and everything, but I think what we're looking for is an actual Crab Festival.
Yeah. The Crab Festival itself, I mean, a kind of end of season for crabbing, not end of season for the year, would incorporate everything from, a big outdoor arena with, brunch, lunch,
cocktails and crabs, crab dinner, crab fest, and all kinds of activities about, you know, how crabbing happens, how you shuck a crab. Listen, I was born in Baltimore. I know about crabs.
Okay.
And they fight you on Crab City, by the way.
Let's get that proposal.
There you go.
I think the most important, let me just get some feedback from you, because, you know, I've already put over 20 hours into playing with this on paper and computer. Doesn't count when I wake up in the middle of the night with, oh my God, I got to write that down before I forget that. This needs a crab
festival.
Yes.
We all agree.
Okay.
We all agree.
All right.
And other people, even the people that are creating our harbor are giving us the plan, agree that we have to bring back. We had a crab festival here for many years. It was very successful. And
Do you know all about that? Can you
fill me
in? No? Was the crab festival?
It was crab races. That's why Doc said, yeah. It was called the crab races. And we filled the town. But I agree with you. I like your concept more of it should be a theme that goes on year-round. We need a big sign. I've wanted it forever. Largest crab producer in California.
Okay.
Come into the harbor.
Can I pick that
and
up?
Then you have the crab festival. And then after the crab festival, you have crab fest. And then it goes on and on all year.
Yeah.
And I agree. But for today, we could spend another hour on this.
Yes.
So, let me just throw one thing.
I cannot stop you from talking, but what we'd like to do is move forward towards the actual festival itself.
The plan.
I just want to throw one thing with you and your sign.
Yeah.
Okay. I have been talking to some people who, you know, love the idea, but said we're already putting up Crescent City signs, so we've seen them. I would love to see, and you've got the perfect spot in the harbor, which would be another draw to get people to come into the harbor district, in a spot where you've got a great view of the lighthouse, something that looks like a goalpost, two verticals, and a horizontal beam.
Okay, again, we're straying from the crab festival.
Well, no, it's your sign, not just the sign that was shown here, like in Camden at the entry to the town, but something inside the harbor where across the top it says whatever it was you just said, that was wonderful. You know, Crab City, whatever, festival, blah, blah. And a place for people to stand, a riser, so individuals and groups who can get their photo taken as a postcard, a digital postcard with the battery lighthouse in the background.
With a crab claw around their neck.
Correct.
Got it.
I'm sorry, I need to interrupt. We're walking the line of legality because everything we're going to talk about has to be either a three-minute item or it needs to be as an action item. And since we don't have anything to act on, we're kind of like, you are such a wonderful source of ideas and you know how it needs to be done. And I hate to even interrupt it, but I am very concerned of maintaining that legal requirement that we need to follow.
Okay, I was hoping I could have spoken to you earlier. I have a PowerPoint and I have the other 11 pages in that laptop, and I'm having trouble getting the PowerPoint onto a flash drive.
Okay.
If you can download it, you will have it now,
yes.
And that will make you feel calmer. That will make me feel happier.
Yeah.
And so I can give you both the PowerPoint and the original document, but neither is in the form of what do they call them? I can't even think of the name right now. But it's kind of an overview schematic of what could we do. It's really a marketing outline of creation and implementation and follow-up with how do you get people now to come to this thing. And it's not finished being thought through. These are both, you know, draft one and draft two.
Yep. All right, thank you very much.
So if you'll help me, Mike, I will get this.
Yes.
I'd like to make
you will
a motion,
do that,
Mr. Chairman.
Just one. Just one quick, please.
I make a motion that we table this action item, or rather we table this item for a future action item, as you know, on the week or the meeting after you submit the PowerPoint or the word process document to the the harbor master, for distribution to all the commissioners. Okay. Once we get that in our hands, we'll get you up here and we'll talk about it.
All right, do we have a second?
Do we want to continue it as opposed to tabling it?
Yes.
There is a distinction. Continuing is a lot easier to bring back to the board.
Yeah,
Well, we can continue it then.
You need to amend your motion.
That we are continuing this some other time when we have the full information.
So amended.
I'll second that.
Second there. Before we go on, here in your hand.
I don't want to step on the motion, but I would suggest that maybe you create a committee and invite members of the public who have interest in this sort of thing. That way they can come and go without having to be an agendized item, and then periodically have updates from the concerned and motivated members of the public.
In the 11 pages?
Okay.
Yeah, so, I'm going to suggest that and volunteer Doc to be on that committee.
Yeah, the prep pad.
He wants to wear the hat.
In the material I'm giving you, one of the first items is involvement of the community.
Correct.
With every niche market, from representing children through seniors, and a very diverse group of people.
And one thing I didn't say, I'm sorry, Stephanie, I don't want to forget, is by running it through your agenda, it's going to slow things down and require a bureaucratic process. But if you create a committee and be the impetus for a community-based committee, you'll probably get a lot more involvement from vendors and whatever.
At this point, I think we wait for the continuation, and at that point, I swear to you, I will. If the commissioners agree, we will create a committee. There was a motion out and a second. We need to vote on it. Please go ahead.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Shepherd?
That's an aye.
Oh, man.
two Grebling?
Aye.
Vice Chair Newman.
Aye.
Chair Weber.
We're getting tired.
Aye. Okay, I am going to continue with point B. Continue review of Crescent City Harbor District Ordinance Code. We had decided last time that we would continue to discuss any items that may have not been fully
For marketing.
Yeah, member Steve
Oxman. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
So, is there anything that you want to add? Because there were a few things that you hadn't read.
Yeah.
It could be helpful. Yeah.
I think it's April 23rd.
Excuse me.
Okay.
April 23rd, our next scheduled meeting is too soon. Conduct that ordinance review. So the next meeting after that would be the date that I think we can, or perhaps a special meeting.
I think the board is generally waiting on you, Dan. You wanted more time to review the ordinances.
Okay, you give me a date you want to meet, and I will be ready to go.
How long do you think it's going to take?
Because
we're going, we already went through what we did.
Two-thirds.
Okay,
yeah.
Two-thirds.
I'm going to give you this. You give me a call, and we're going to get together.
We don't want to do it.
Excuse me. We can't have any side. If you need to have a conversation, please have it at a place where we can work. Yes.
Thank you.
So
anyways, we don't want to do it during a board meeting, so we would have to have a special meeting, I guess.
You can do it whenever you want.
Let's do it quick, because there weren't too many pages left.
No, I went through everything that I had, so.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, I had a few pages.
Okay.
So you can try tried to squeeze it in at the regular meeting or not.
So we have
Katie,
another...
can you notify the chair and the harbor master when you've completed your review so we can wrap this up?
That I will do.
Thank you.
Thank you. So there's a continuation.
Table.
Do we need to, do we need to vote on this?
It's an action item, I believe we have to.
Okay, then let's just, somebody give me a motion and then.
Doesn't matter, right?
Dan, I think we have to review and notify the harbor master and the chairman when that task has been completed. And then a future meeting will be set up at that time.
Great, I second that motion.
Okay.
Nothing from the public?
Second?
Oh, I seconded it.
Is there any public comment at this time?
Yeah, you need to help me out.
You can go with an eye
on the screen.
Day.
All right, roll call. Commissioner Schmidt?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Shepherd?
Aye.
Vice Chair Niemer?
Aye.
Chair Weber?
Aye. Okay. Last item on the action items, approve the terms of appointment and compensation for a CEO / harbor master.
Do you want me to give the summary?
Yeah, just do it quick.
Yeah, so we negotiated the terms of a new agreement, and we've agreed to the same terms under the interim contract that was previously in effect that expired on March 31st, so it'll be the same terms, except that the length of it will be 3 months, and the compensation will be $114,000 annually. There will not be any health insurance offered, but there will be housing offered under the same terms as the previous agreement. So it's just sort of continuing an interim appointment for 3 months.
Is that... I move that we accept the contract.
I'll second.
Okay, is there any comment that needs to be made? Yes.
Yes, do I need to get up over there? Alicia Williams texted me her public comment because she can't be here.
Is that allowed under our bylaws?
We asked the chair before.
Hold on. What's the point of order or what?
I'm fine.
I haven't read it yet.
Okay.
HM job scope needs to be clarified, as well as how direction to the board and to staff will be structured to ensure effective delegation of duties. Response to public need is lacking, and Mike specifically needs to be relieved of his sole authority to give staff approval before they can act. This lack of autonomy of staff amounts to micromanaging. This approach is detrimental to progress in workflow and morale and public relations. Regarding compensation, there should be no increase. Terms should remain with flexibility to allow for change in harbor master if needed, and no guarantee employment for multiple years. Also, severance compensation and benefits need to be reduced because previous harbor master was essentially rewarded handsomely for costing taxpayers money and contributing to a toxic dynamic at our harbor district. This should be prevented by altering the employment contract terms. Harbor master needs scope to be reined in, and commissioners need to assist in permanent delegation of duties to appropriate staff to ensure the workload is better distributed and remove excess from harbor master. It would be helpful to know more about the existing communication framework in order to give helpful input. But most issues stem from ineffective communications.
Thank you. Alicia. Okay, now, any comments from commissioners?
I believe we have our comments in closed session.
Okay, I would like to have... Any comments on this?
I have no comments, no.
I have one comment. If we approve this, at some point, there's going to be an evaluation of the harbor master, right?
Correct.
At the moment, we have all gotten a proposal for on how we should do that evaluation. For me, it is super important that the person who's going to be evaluated on our new parameters knows those parameters. It's being told, this is what we're going to evaluate you on. before we even have using this tool to evaluate this thing. It's like taking a class at the university and not getting a syllabus. Then the instructor says at the end of the meeting, okay, I'm going to question you on blah blah blah. Boom. It just is not fair. And so, I think Mike, in addition to getting the extension, that's what I believe he should know the tools that we're gonna use to evaluate those 3 months. That's my opinion.
I filled mine out and I had it, but I didn't. And I didn't bring it today.
I filled it up too. So, I think we have a motion.
Public comment.
A second. Is there a public comment?
There was one online.
One online.
So Sandy first.
Okay.
I just want to say that over the last 2 years, I've been asked a couple times to work with the harbor, and I've declined because I'm retiring. I'm very excited to be working with Mike Rademacher here in the next 3 months, and I think he will get a great review in 3 months because I feel like we're going to do really great things together because everything the board is doing is, I feel, in the right direction. And I like the people that we can work with to make good things happen. And I think you'll see a lot of good things in the next 3 months because the finances will show you that. Just wanted to put that in. Thank you.
Thank you.
So far, I'm impressed with you. I mean, all the people I've ever worked with or seen. You're together. So if there was an evaluation done today and I had scheduled you between a 1 and a 140, I'd give you at least a 121 or 125 out of 140 because there's always room for investment improvement when you evaluate somebody. And the Army, they evaluated me as an officer every other day, and I had to pass a criteria of levels of information. They would ask me questions about an officer, they'd ask me questions about my job, and then they would ask me something simple about the outside world. It could be anywhere from a basketball team up to a baseball team to who was swimming that day or what lake was located where. The reason why they do that is because they check your cognitive. If you're all in one area, you have to be surrounded in the whole area as a harbor master. So it's good. They tell you if you're focus just in one area, where some people are like that. And evaluation is not really a test. It's a consumption of an ideal that gives people an ideal of what you're like. And if they're impressed with you, they're going to back you down good. I was always impressed with my board here. I mean, ever since you guys came in, we all came in existence out there, I've seen nothing but approval level, approval intensity, level of thinking, cooperation. I've seen it all, and that's good. I like that. But I also, you know, I wanted to recognize you because I recognize a quality person who's been on the job for a long time. Secondly, he knows the parameters of that job. And thirdly, he's willing to work with everybody in a consensus of different things. So other than that, you know, that's about what an evaluation would be, in my part.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Is there any other public comment?
I echo the last statement, and he's been a hell of a glue to the ointment, and the growth and the happiness I see throughout the community. And I welcome what you guys and gals are doing. I appreciate y'all because, as we heard for a few minutes a while ago, this is where we can make it happen for the community. Everything we're looking at, Mike's done a hell of a job, and the team working together was something you got thrown into, and you work together to make it happen. So I'm very happy and pleased with what I see from the outside looking in, and I think we see nothing but promise. Congratulations, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good work. Thank you. All right. Let's do the
Commissioner Schmidt.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Shepherd.
Aye.
Vice Chair Niemer.
No.
Chair Weber.
Aye. The ayes have 4-1. At this point, the meeting is adjourned.
We're going to meet at the next scheduled meeting Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025, unless there is another work special meeting planned. Thank you.